Good morning. We're happy to have you here today as a partner in prayer, in song, and in hearing of God's word. We hope that you will stay for coffee after worship so that we may become friends and be strangers no longer. My name is Barb Mostagimi, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community who shares God's love, builds bridges, and inspires spiritual transformation. We are a community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHEC Radio. And to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so we can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys, concerns, and turn it into the ushers during the passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcasts and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Here are a few announcements. Just a reminder to please wear your name tags that are located out in the entryway. If you do not have one, please leave your name there and one will be made for you. Are you or someone in your family graduating from high school and planning to attend a college, technical school, or community college? Scholarships for member youth up to $250 are available. An application can be picked up at the church office. The deadline to submit an application is May 15, 2026. The Congressional Care Team is looking for new volunteers to help support our church family through visits and phone calls. If you have a heart for listening and serving those in need, please contact Pastor Sana by email or calling the church office. Registration is open for our Vacation Bible School, which takes place June 15th through the 18th. It's open to all children from preschool to sixth grade. You can register on our website. The family of Elaine Neusmeyer would like to thank Zion Church and all those who helped make her memorial service on April 18th such a moving and memorable event, including Pastor Bob Broder, organist Betty Jo Brown, soloist Brian Brown, and the many church volunteers who worked in the dining hall and prepared or donated food for the occasion. You are in our thoughts and prayers. In the words of one of the memorial service hymns, God be with you till we meet again. The May-June edition of the Upper Room is available in the book rack in the narthex. Take an extra copy to share. Now let us prepare for worship.
Chapter 79, The Strange Stranger, Luke 24, 13-35. It was Sunday afternoon, and two of Jesus' friends were walking from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. They were full of sadness because they had thought that Jesus was God's promise-keeping king, but then he had died. As they walked along, a stranger came and walked with them. Jesus' friends told him why they were so sad. "You don't seem to believe what God's messengers promised," the strange stranger replied. "Hundreds of years ago, God's messengers said that God's promise-keeping king would die. But remember that those messengers also said that after he had died, God's king would rule forever." When they got to Emmaus, it was getting late, so Jesus' friends invited the strange stranger to have a meal with them. He took some bread and broke it into pieces. And at that exact moment, God allowed the men to see that this stranger was not a stranger at all. It was Jesus. Jesus disappeared. So the men rushed back to Jerusalem to tell Jesus' other friends that he was alive. While they were talking, Jesus appeared again and ate some fish. "I am making all God's promises come true," Jesus told them.
Grace and peace be with you. Welcome to Zion UCC. My name is Sana Del Corazon, and I am your pastor. I'm glad to be with you this morning, and you're not at the swap meet. Yay! This is the day God is making. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to welcome any guests we have today. Thank you for taking a chance and walking with us and worshiping with us this morning. Now let's get ready for worship by taking a couple of deep breaths, bringing your awareness into this space, leaving all your worries behind, or lifting them up to God. God, fall afresh on us this morning. Please join us in the call to worship.
Please stand and join me for the call to worship. Sometimes good things are right in front of us and we don't see them.
Our fears and our prejudices blind us.
Open our eyes this day to see the goodness of the Lord.
Gracious God, open our hearts to receive your blessings.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Please stay standing for our opening hymn, "From All That Dwell Below the Skies," number 27. Gracious God, you are the one who calls us together and the one who sends us out into the world. Remind us as we gather how good it is to dwell with you and with one another. Stir our hearts to love boldly, freely, and joyfully. Let us praise you with our whole lives and magnify your name by how we live. Remind us that our worship is not a performance, but an offering to you. We bless and honor you, O faithful one. Speak to our hearts and receive our worship. Amen. You may be seated for the next song, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart, number 290. In body or spirit for the prayer of confession. Creator God, you come to us on the road in our everyday lives, moving out of the setting of worship into our world of everyday living. We aren't always ready for you. We don't always see you or feel you. We let things crowd in our lives, and they blot out our awareness of your presence. Forgive our blindness and our stubbornness. Help us keep our hearts open to you to see and tell others the good news. We have not seen Jesus, but we are sure that his presence and his love are always with us on our journey. Through Jesus Christ, we are set free. Praise be to God. Amen. Said to the disciples, "Peace I leave you, and peace I give you. The peace of the Lord always be with you."
And also with you.
Let us pass the peace with one another.
To thank today Judy Johnson, who's joining with us to accompany this piece with her oboe. We're grateful for that. And I'd also like to thank Taven and the choir for a year filled with beautiful music and lots of love with the Lord.
Thank you.
Our first reading this morning comes from Psalm 86. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for you, O Lord, I lift my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my prayer of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. May God add a special blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen. Thank you, Cindy, for reading. And thank you all for having patience. We're making it easier for people to sign up to read and to be read scripture and liturgists. And we're doing an online version, and we still have a paper version, and we're still figuring out the kinks of that. So thanks for having patience with us. I also want to thank Pastor Susan for directing our choir and providing pastoral care this year. Not that you're leaving. I'm just saying, I just want to thank you. Today is the last day the choir is singing because planning season is here, and half of our choir is gone. So just so that today was their last performance for this year. Let us now turn to our second scripture, which was from the same scripture from last week. We're going to revisit the road to Emmaus. I think I'm going to have to read it from up there because I don't see. Oh, no, you know what? I put it over here. I can't really see up there. Now on the same road, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village in which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm excited to, let me pray first. God, help us welcome the visitor in our midst. Open our eyes when we break bread with the guest. Allow us to be hosted. May God's word be spoken. May God's word be heard. Amen. Okay, I'm excited about, clearly, guys, I was about to avoid the prayer. I'm excited to revisit today's story about the road to Emmaus with a different focus. But first, I want to clear something up, something that I mentioned in passing last week. I think it's important to read scripture without preconceived notions of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the ancient Near East. I believe looking at the Bible with fresh eyes can hold some good news for us. How many of you assumed that these are two men walking on the road to Emmaus? Of course, you wouldn't be alone. You know, with the videos that we've shown show two men. And they portray one. Well, the video last week, both of them had beards. This one, only one. That, my friends, is a reflection of our society and not scripture. The text said the two disciples were walking from Jerusalem along the road to Emmaus. Nowhere in the scripture does it say they were two men. If you look at the Greek word for the unnamed disciple, the word is gender neutral. It could have been a man or a woman. Now, you know the Bible is full of examples of women being unnamed. And biblical scholars have no problem naming all the men in a story. Someone begets, someone begets, someone, all the names. That is why some biblical scholars have argued that this unnamed disciple walking with Cleopas was a woman. It could have been Cleopas' wife, his girlfriend, his female friend, his sister. We don't know, but it's very likely a woman. For hundreds of years, biblical scholars, mostly men, have made assertions and assumptions that aren't in the text, and we just accept it as truth. What happens when we remove our assumptions and cultural programming? How does this story change for us when we imagine a man and a woman walking and talking and dining with Jesus? What new meanings does this story have for you? I'm not going to answer that, but I hope you take that thought home and sit with it this week. Now, before I spend some time again on Luke 24, the only account in the gospel of two disciples journeying on the road to Emmaus and how the risen Christ meets them as three different roles, as a stranger, as a guest, and as a host, I'm going to tell you first a personal story of my own where I was a stranger in a church community, and I'm not talking about this one. Not very long ago, my family and I joined a church when we moved into a new area. It was a lovely church. People seemed friendly and accepting of me and my queer family. The church had an active and robust community. They claimed to be welcoming of newcomers, yet I noticed that a lot of people visited, but very few joined. They had a steady number of members, but I learned that that number had been relatively the same for a decade. Within a few months, my family and I joined that church, and I became a member of the Welcome and Engagement Committee. I wanted to help them become the church that they wanted to be, welcoming visitors in a way that they could become members. As a volunteer member of this committee, I spoke to folks who visited but never came back. I spoke to members who left and didn't return. I observed patterns of how the church operated to help identify things that might be discouraging people from joining that community. Eventually, I suggested a couple of simple things that I thought the church could do to help visitors feel more welcomed. The first thing I suggested was that the church move a giant plant that was in the lobby to another location to put in a bulletin board with information about the church and pictures of the staff. The reaction of a few leaders, you would have thought I told them to burn down the building. See, what I didn't know was that people love those plants. They had been in that same location for years, and they had an eco-justice ministry who managed those plants. So how dare I, a newcomer and still a guest, suggest moving plants without first meeting with the committee, then convening several group discussions, followed by a period of discernment, and then putting it up for a congregational vote? I'm not joking. That's what they thought. They thought, if I let them move a plant today, what would I ask them to do tomorrow? How dare I expect the church to move the location of plants when they were perfectly happy in that location? I share this story in the past to highlight the challenge of trying to make changes in a spiritual community. But as I sat with today's scripture, I realized, and in that community, I was welcomed as a stranger and maybe even a guest. But I had no business acting like a host, like I was one of them, that I could have an opinion on the location of a plant. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus appears to the disciples first as a stranger, then as a guest, and finally as a host. Looking at this story through this lens, I wonder if it can help us think about our journey with strangers who visit Zion. How do we welcome and include new people in the life of our community? What is our response when a stranger appears on our shared spiritual journey? As we know from the reading, the two disciples were traveling on their way to Emmaus the afternoon of Easter when the risen Christ comes near and walks with them. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asks about the events that they're discussing, and Cleopas says, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here?" Cleopas uses the word for stranger or foreigner or alien. The Greek word is parokio, which means someone who's away from home, a sojourner, a migrant. Cleopas' questions to Jesus almost sounds like a little annoyed by this stranger, annoyed the way that this foreigner interrupts his walk with his companion, annoyed by the way he barges into a conversation where he doesn't belong. See, if we didn't know from this story that this was Jesus, we would think he was rude. How appropriate is to walk up to two people who are having a private conversation and ask them straight up, "Hey, what are you talking about?" When in the midst of a private conversation with a close friend sharing things of a personal nature, the last thing you probably want is to include a stranger. It makes things awkward and feels intrusive. I imagine the disciples saw this stranger as an intruder interrupting their conversation. He's a visitor who imposes himself in a private conversation where he doesn't belong, where he hasn't been invited. Yet Jesus, as a stranger, just does that. He walks up to them and starts talking to them. And this gives the disciples an opportunity to show hospitality. See, in the New Testament, hospitality means love of the stranger. Can you imagine if the disciples in the Emmaus Road had refused to welcome the stranger on their walk and in their intimate conversation, what would they have missed? A life-changing encounter with Jesus. They would have missed God's grace and God's presence. So there is no coincidence that there are at least 36 instances in the Hebrew Bible where God commands his people to welcome the stranger. Perhaps welcoming the stranger required so much reinforcement because there's something in our human nature that instinctively makes us fear the stranger. Because these disciples were open to welcoming the stranger, they received the grace of God. A God who doesn't look like what they thought God was going to look like, or talk or act like the God they thought was going to act like. And this is what Christian hospitality is, the love of the stranger. When two disciples meet the risen Christ and thought that he was a stranger, they welcomed him in. As they near the village, Jesus walks ahead as if he were going on. He does not presume to be invited into their home, but the disciples ask him to join them, saying, "Stay with us because it's almost evening and the day is nearly over." So Jesus stays with them and becomes their guest. The disciples welcome and include the stranger in their lives and in their home, and Jesus becomes their guest. Through his ministerial example, Jesus wants us to take good care of our guests who come to us. As the body of Christ in this world, our job is to be like Jesus, who fed the hungry and welcomed the outcast. We are Christ's hands and feet in this world, and we show Christ's presence every time we practice this type of hospitality. In Matthew 25, Jesus announces he frequently appears to us as guests. Specifically, he comes in the form of people who are in need of food, drink, and a warm welcome. He says to his followers, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." But the followers of Jesus hear this word, and they're confused. They don't remember seeing Jesus and helping him. So they ask, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and thirsty and a stranger?" And Jesus answers them, "Just as you did to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." God calls us to compassionate action, urging us as followers of Christ to treat everyone with dignity and love, regardless of social standing. In Matthew 25, Jesus points out that we are to welcome the stranger. We are welcoming them as Christ would do himself, which is exactly what happened to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They welcomed the stranger, and they discovered it was Christ, literally. Finally, as Jesus sits at the table and breaks bread with the disciples, he changes from stranger to guest to host. He takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them, and becomes the host. At that moment, their eyes are open and they recognize him, and he vanishes from their sight. The disciples discover that when they welcome a stranger, they welcome the Lord. It's critically important for us to permit Jesus to be our host, to eat his bread and drink his cup and accept what he offers us and allow ourselves to be strengthened and inspired by this. When Jesus Christ nourishes us through communion, we're invited to open our hearts to the presence of Christ. He comes to feed us, to fill us with peace, power, and presence. And I know many of you would rather play host than be hosted. You know, we'd rather decide who comes to our table, what we'll eat, manage the dinner conversation. For many of us, it's easier to help others than to receive from a stranger. We would rather be the host than let someone else host us. But as the road to Emmaus urges us, God is inviting us to permit Jesus to be our host through the stranger, to open ourselves up to what a stranger can offer, grace, nourishment, and the presence of God. And like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, our eyes will be opened and we will be able to recognize the Christ in them. See, Easter time is when Christ comes to us and speaks to us, breaks bread with us, and we proclaim ourselves to be his followers. We proclaim that in Jesus Christ, we have new life. Through Christ's resurrection, God reveals God's true nature, the God who is with us and for us. Last week, I spoke of the grief and disappointment the disciples and Zion experienced when both lost a beloved leader. The disciples had hoped that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel. These two distraught disciples are wandering home trying to make sense of this loss. And through their grief, they share with each other openly and honestly what happened to them. And in that moment, Jesus draws near. They accept Jesus' invitation to tell their story, and Jesus patiently listens. Grief and disappointment can narrow our stories. We can lose sight of the big picture of God's all-encompassing story. Then Jesus retells the story with God's love story, within God's love story. They come to understand how the death of their Messiah finds its place in the cosmic arc of redemption, love, and hope. In their encounter with Jesus, they come to know the truth that love cannot die and God cannot be defeated by hate. The journey of these disciples on the road to Emmaus is our journey. It is the path we choose in our baptism and our confirmation. It is the one we walk every day of our lives. The road to Emmaus is a spiritual path, and while difficult times will always happen in our lives, it is where God will come to meet us every time, to lead us home, to lead us to resurrection, for ourselves and for the world. And it is a road we will travel to find others, to share the good news with them, that in us they may encounter the risen Christ. God, through Christ, is always inviting us into relationship. Like those two disciples, it is when our hearts are open that Jesus comes in. Only then our eyes are open and we see Jesus in our midst. Only then we know that Jesus is in us. Then we will turn towards Jerusalem and begin the work we are called to do, to change our story from hopelessness to hope, from the cross to the empty tomb, from death to life for all of God's children. So returning to my personal story, when I was a stranger in the church, in that church, I want to say I'm not likening myself to Jesus as the stranger. My story is funny and ridiculous because it's such a church story. What I'm trying to say is, it is in the everyday small things of church life that we express who we are to strangers. Jesus' own journey in this story, from a stranger to a guest and a host, invites us to examine what journey we take when a stranger shows up at our door. Despite our resistance, our impatience, our inability to see clearly, strangers are welcome gifts from God, grace for us. Strangers are messengers from God, images of God, and people who can invite us into God's presence. On the road to Emmaus, God's grace happens in the presence of a stranger who turns out to be a friend, a foreigner who turns out to be the Messiah. I hope we can read ourselves into this story. When the disciples invite a stranger to stay with them, when they invite a foreigner to eat with them, they model for us the kind of life we are to live, a life of hospitality, of openness to a stranger who we turn into guest and maybe even hosts. As we open ourselves up to Christ and the people around us, there's a prayer, an Irish hymn from the 8th century, that I would like to share. This hymn fuels a spirit of hospitality. I will leave you with this prayer as a way to orient your lives, as an invitation to learn to see one another, to see strangers as Christ, and to see the world full of strangers as transfigured by Christ's presence. Christ be with you. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ at my right. Christ at my left. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in silence. Christ in danger. Christ in the mouth of friend and stranger. May it be so. Amen. Now we're going to sing Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread, number 342. Open the eyes of our hearts, God. Enable us to see you and respond to you. Let us offer our presence, our prayers, our service, our witness, and our gifts to you. Please join. Praise God from whom all. of dedication. Like the disciples at Emmaus, we offer what we have. They offered their company, their table, their bread. We invite you to be with us as we offer you our love, our devotion, and these gifts. Bless us, that our eyes be open to your holy presence now and always. Amen. Thank you. The story has resonated with followers of Jesus Christ across time because it speaks to the place of our deepest hunger, our desires to know Christ. The profound truth of the Emmaus story is that Jesus makes his presence known to his disciples around an ordinary table in the simple act of breaking bread. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Please join me in prayer. Risen One, like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, we struggle to recognize you in the everyday journey of our lives. We seek your wisdom in the midst of questions we have about the circumstances we find ourselves, circumstances sometimes beyond our control. Open our eyes to your work of transformation in and around us. As we walk with you day by day, may our life in you be made manifest in what we say and how we interact with others. Help us to understand the power of our words to hurt or to heal. Help us with the graciousness to make all our conversations holy. Just as we desire that our speaking be holy, may our seeing be holy as well. We are bombarded with images every day that shape our attitudes and behaviors. As you open the scriptures to the disciples and taught them everything, open our eyes to behold you in your word, in the beauty of nature, in the beauty of human beings, and the beauty of all creation. And in our seeing, help us to recognize and welcome the stranger in our midst. May our welcome be a celebration of the gifts and graces, persons who are different from us, and not merely some token of tolerance of an outsider. God, you walk alongside us and listen. Hear our prayers for all who are suffering and in pain, those dying and those grieving,